Let us work through stock worksheet number 2. So for the following stocks, name the exchange or the market: New York Stock Exchange, the Amex, which is now called the New York Stock Exchange American, NASDAQ, or the dreaded OTC, bulletin board, or pink sheets, that you believe the stock could be found on. Where would we find Microsoft? Tech company? Yes. Microsoft was one of those stocks that the New York Stock Exchange in the 1990s just figured, oh, they're going to join us next. And they didn't do it. They stayed on the NASDAQ. Oh, boy. Now they're one of the largest companies in the world. How about the General Electric dynasty, which has hit on hard times of late? Right. It's both one of the Dow stocks that it was originally in the Dow in 1896 and then has since fallen out. But yes, it's on the New York Stock Exchange, the storied company, General Electric. Number 3, Flim Flam Incorporated. Who is Flim Flam Incorporated? Yeah, you know, they're now going to sell marijuana devices that can track the TH. I don't know. They used to be selling bed springs, and then before that, it was bacon stretchers. They were selling. They're not a real company, folks. Where would we expect them to be? On the OTC, over the counter, the bulletin board, or the pink sheets, the wrong side of the tracks. Stay away from penny stocks. Now, AMD, who are they? Do you know who AMD is? They're the major competitor to Intel, and they make microprocessors, the CPUs, central processing units that go in your computers. And we would expect them to be on the NASDAQ, right? Well, for many years, they were on the New York Stock Exchange, and now they moved to the NASDAQ. So you can sort of think, you know, a technology company would be on the NASDAQ, but it was actually on the New York Stock Exchange, but now it's on the NASDAQ again, or was. It was never on the NASDAQ, but now it is on the NASDAQ for good, probably. But that reminds us that we always must check to be sure. We have to go online and check, see where they are. Now, what's the Diamond ETF? Remember exchange-traded funds? Well, the Diamond is the ETF that tracks the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Cool name, Diamond, huh? Because the symbol for the Dow is DIA. And so where are they? They're traded everywhere. Everybody's trading these things. But because the ETF started in the early 1990s on the Amex, the American Exchange, let's say the American Exchange, even though they're traded everywhere now. And then the last one, number 6, International Paper. A company that's been around for decades. And they make paper. And when you make paper, you also make building products because they're both byproducts of one another. They're working with wood. New York Stock Exchange, right? They used to be in the Dow. I'm pretty sure they're not in the Dow anymore, Dow Jones Industrial Average. But they're one of those companies that make the stuff that we use every day. So those are the stocks, name the exchange or market, that you believe the stock could be expected to be found on, but realizing that we must always check to be sure. Cool. Now, the next 3 are measures. We're starting to look at some of the measures, the numerical measures that we can assign to our various potential stock investments. And you know Widgets Incorporated, right? not a real company. They're currently selling for, say, $52. Their earnings per share last year were $3.75, and they are paying a dividend of $1.85. So please compute the following: price to earnings ratio, dividend payout ratio, and the dividend yield. Well, the price to earnings ratio is very simple. You take the price, which we see is $52, and you divide it by the earnings per share, $3.75, and you get 13.866666, about 13.9. Is that high? Not by today's standards. It's middle of the road. Actually, it's very low by today's standards, but who knows? Maybe, you know, it used to be that 14, 15 was just you know, average, but now it's pretty low. And it means that investors are not that excited about the prospects of Widgets Incorporated. Although that doesn't mean it's a bad choice, because it's paying us dividends and we love dividends. Dividends don't lie. So let's continue and see a couple more measures that have to do with dividends. The dividend payout ratio, number 8, is another simple statistic. You take the dividends per year divided by the earnings per year, and that's $1.85 of dividends divided by $3.75 of earnings, and it turns out that's 0.4933333. They're paying out about half, which is not bad. They're not paying out too much. We get worried sometimes when they pay out a whole bunch of their earnings, because obviously they don't have anything better to do with the earnings, so they're paying them out to the shareholders. And they're certainly paying us a healthy dollop of their earnings, so they're not stingy. They're obviously not growing very fast, right? Because growing companies pay almost nothing or nothing. They don't pay any dividends. They don't distribute any of their earnings, or they pay out a very small amount. Why? Because they need the cash to reinvest in the company to grow the company. That's why they're called reinvested earnings. They don't pay out the earnings in dividends. They reinvest them. But Widgets is paying out about a half, and that's a good sign for a company that's been around for a long time, and it shows that they're generous. They want to reward their shareholders with dividends. Now, what's the yield? The dividend yield. This is a very important statistic that allows us to compare our stock, potential stock investment, with other alternatives such as bonds or savings accounts. And again, a very simple calculation, the dividends per year divided by the market price. How much did you have to pay to get those dividends? And we find that's $1.85 divided by $52 per share of price. And that's about 3.56%. We like to see at least 3 digits of accuracy. And by today's standards, that's pretty darn good. Certainly better than a savings account. Certainly better than a lot of what a bonds are paying. So that's not a bad dividend, in my humble opinion, your humble instructor says. I like dividends. Dividends don't lie. Now, the next group of problems, we take a look at the stocks and name the type of stock that you believe best fits the stock. Now, here's where you have to use judgment. And don't worry about making a mistake. This is part of your assignment in chapter 3. So don't worry about making a mistake. Some companies don't fit well in any set category. Some fit in more than one category. So we have the blue chip, income, growth, cyclical, defensive, turnaround, goner, speculative, asset play, foreign, and the dreaded penny stock. So what is Ford? Is it a blue chip? Well, some people would consider Ford a blue chip stock. Yeah, I think so. But more importantly, automobiles are the poster child for cyclical stocks. When the economy's doing well, auto manufacturers are raking in the bucks, folks. People are getting new jobs, getting pay raises. People go out and buy a new car. And so when the cycle's up, the automobile manufacturers do really well. When the cycle's down, right, the recession hits, people say, no, my old Bessie out there is doing just fine. I don't need a new car. What about Walmart? Well, are they a blue? Well, certainly they're one of the blue chip companies, one of the largest companies. And so we would consider them a blue chip. Now, they're a retailer. And again, retailers are some of the poster children for cyclical stocks. But one interesting thing that happened in the Great Recession, the global financial crisis, is that Walmart actually did well. Why? Because people who would have shopped at a higher end stores were looking for bargains. And so they actually did well. So they were counter-cyclical. which is, again, analysis, isn't it? We have to literally dig deeper and go past the typical categories that we have at our disposal. Now, what about Starbucks? $5, $6, $10 now. Well, they were a poster child for growth a couple decades ago when they were saying, we're going to have 40,000 Starbucks around the, when they changed their mind and then closed 600 of them very quickly because they realized that it's not smart to have a Starbucks on every corner of they still do in some areas. They do a demographic profile. Well, they get in major cities where they get lots of walking traffic. But no, they're no longer growing. I don't know what you would call. What would you call Starbucks? I guess they're not really a cyclical because they're people love their coffee no matter what. I think they're superfluous because I don't even like coffee. I like the smell of it, but I can't believe that people pay $5-6 for a cup of coffee. But that's their business. That's their money. So can we put it in growth? I don't know. I don't know really where to put Starbucks these days. Now, number 13, Sears, Kmart. Well, I don't know if we're being generous when we say it's a turnaround. It's really a goner. In fact, it's become a penny stock. It is no longer on the major exchanges. It is now sitting on one of the OTC. I forget which one, either the bulletin board or the pink sheets. But yes, Sears, even though there's still, you go down to Mexico and you still see several Sears in cities, but they're a goner, we should say. We have turnaround there, but they're a goner. How about General Mills? What do they make? Cheerios! Wheaties! Food companies are defensive. They used to be in the Dow. I don't think they're in the Dow anymore. But they're a very large conglomerate that makes all kinds of foodstuffs, and foodstuffs are defensive because no matter how well the economy is doing, do you eat more Cheerios? If the economy is doing poorly, you still got to eat that defensive company. They would probably consider themselves still a blue chip, even though others would say, oh, that's so old economy. Oh, my goodness. How about number 15, Union Pacific Railroad? Railroads, transportation, cyclical, right, indeed, because, and many people in the higher ups when you get into economics, look at the transportation companies as a leading indicator of the economy. Why? Because before the stuff can be sold, it's got to be built, so the raw materials have to get to where they need to go. And then once they're built, then they have to be shipped to where they're sold. So they look at the transport sector and transportation companies as a leading indicator of how the economy is doing. So they're cyclical. But what else do we know about railroads? Railroads are sitting on a very valuable asset that was given to them around 200 years ago. Land, the real estate. So they're also an asset play. They own major chunks of large downtown cities. So they have a lot of assets sitting on the books. So again, that's one of those things that we have to dig deeper to find. How about Michelin? Michelin, what are the tires, right? And where is Michelin based? La France. But again, it's like one of those companies that's a country unto itself. So we would say that's a foreign company. It's also cyclical, right? As tires go into cars and the like. 17, Alcoa. Who are they? Aluminum Corporation of America. See, this was a time. It used to be Radio Corporation of America, Aluminum Corporation of America, and then they shortened their names. They would still consider themselves a blue chip because aluminum is a very important material. I mean, you and I don't buy aluminum. Well, we buy cans, which are mostly aluminum. But they are one of the companies that makes the materials that go into stuff. So they are, again, a cyclical company, Alcoa. Now, how about Next Era Energy? Well, utility companies tend to be defensive because people don't want to take cold showers in the dark and they don't want to eat raw food. So they're going to, exactly. But also, utilities are another one of those asset plays that are sitting on raw materials, land. Our Sempra Energy, SDG&E, owns a ton of Southern California, which is very valuable land. So again, utilities are defensive, but they also can be great asset plays. Cool? Making sense? Remembering that you might not be right. And sometimes, for example, when you looked at Walmart and said, it's a retailer, it's cyclical. Well, yes and no. So do your best. And then sometimes there'll be some discussion. Some people might say, nah, you got it all wrong. This is really a growth company. Well, okay, well, show me why. And then you dig deeper like an onion. You pull away those layers and find more information and say, yeah, you're right. This company, even though it's in a cyclical industry, a cyclical type of company, it's actually growing smartly. And that's where judgment comes in. And that's where research comes in. And there's no end. Thousands of companies, dear students. And I'm hoping that you enjoyed what we're doing. And if you do, that's a great sign. And if you don't, that's another great sign that this might not be for you. It might, you know, it doesn't matter. Some people, I know some investors who've done pretty well and don't do any of this research. They just kind of go into the mall and look around and see who's doing well and see what people are buying, and they follow those companies. What can I say? Okay, so do these twice so that, you know, hide the answers, do them again, and be awesome. We're so proud of you.